Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series of lectures, Swami Nikhilanand relates the life history of some of the great saints of Indian history. He also explains important philosophy like what is a saint, how to be a saint, and how a guru helps the souls find God.
Prapanna ham sada shyama Tasya preranaya tasya divyadisham vadamyaham. Chauram Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Neelambujasya Kanti Chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai tagvangha devamatma buddhi prakasham mumukchurvai sharanamaham prapadye.
The divine souls will have a few minutes of chanting, and after that I'll continue with the topic of great saints of India.
Thank you. लाडली लाल की।
So as I mentioned yesterday, on Tuesday we'll be celebrating Guru Purnima. So all this week during the family camp, I'll be talking to you about saints and the philosophy regarding saints and gurus, which is in our Hindu scriptures, and we'll be learning about that through the stories of some great saints of India. So yesterday I explained the philosophy of what is a saint, how a soul is different from God, why a soul needs to attain God, why a soul is under the bondage of Maya, and how a soul can, through God's grace, go beyond the bondage of Maya and become God-realized, which is the very definition of a saint, one who is beyond Maya and who is God-realized. So tonight we're going to learn some more by studying or hearing about the story of Dhruv, Bhakta Dhruv, who was a very young devotee of God, 5 years old. So although he was devotional as a child, there was something that happened that led to him doing a lot of devotion, a lot of focused devotion, and actually becoming God-realized at that young age. Dhruv was on this earth planet in the very beginning of this day of Brahma. A day of Brahma is called a kalp. So each kalp is divided into sections called manvantar. So each manvantar is like a separate section, you can say, where life exists, human beings exist on the earth planet, and then there's sometimes a break in between the manvantar. So the first manvantar, at that time, Brahma started everything. He was given that task by Krishna. And he produced, in addition to some of the first saints and rishis, whom we know like Naradji and Atri and Bhrigu and Vashisht, all of these great saints, he also produced a saint called Manu or Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu and his wife Shatrupa. They were tasked with populating the earth with human beings. Manu actually rules. He's the first, not human being, because the rishis are there first. He produces Naradji and all of his Manas Putra. But he's Manu is like a Prajapati, meaning all the human beings are descended from his offspring. So Manu is the son of Brahma, and Swayambhu Manu's first two sons, or his two sons, were Priyavrat and Utpanpad. Now, Utpanpad had two queens. The older queen was called Suniti, and the younger queen, who, to whom he was more attached actually, was called Suruchi. Dhruv was born to Suniti, actually the elder queen, and Suruchi also had a son named Uttam. So Dhruv and Uttam were half brothers, around about the same age, and they grew up together and played together. But Suruchi, Uttam's mother, was very jealous of Dhruv and very proud of the fact that the king liked her better than the older queen. The king was, you can say, just so attached to her that he did pretty much whatever she wanted. So one day Uttam was sitting on King Utpanpad's lap while the king was sitting on the throne, and Dhruv came in. And he saw that, my brother is sitting on father's lap, I'm also going to join. And he just ran innocently to go and jump up on the throne and sit on his father's lap next to his brother. And Suruchi, Uttam's mother, stopped him and wouldn't let him get up. And she said in a very nasty tone that, who do you think you are? You think you're going to sit on the throne? If you wanted to sit on the throne, you should have been born from my womb, not Suniti's womb. So you want to sit on the throne, you should die and come back born as my son. Now, basically, get lost, she told him. So Dhruv was very hurt hearing these words from his, almost like his mother, Suruchi was. He looked to his father, thinking that surely father will not allow this injustice, but he was so deluded by his attachment to Suruchi that he didn't even say anything in Dhruv's defense. So Dhruv went back to the quarters where he and Suniti lived, and his mother saw that Dhruv is looking so dejected. What's going on? So she asked. And she found out what had happened. She called Dhruv. And she said, Dhruv, Suruchi is right. The king likes her better, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is just our place. There's nothing I can do about it, and you're my son, so we're just going to have to put up with it. The best thing for you is you just attach your mind to Vishnu. She was a devotee of Vishnu. So was Dhruv. So she said, you just take shelter at the lotus feet of Vishnu. You surrender to him, worship him. Dhruv said, I will do that, mother. And in fact, I will worship him to the point that he's going to appear in front of me, and then I'll ask him for what I want. Dhruv was so determined, he just said, you know what, I'm going to the jungle, and I'm just going to do devotion to Vishnu until he comes to me. So his mother got some clothes made for him out of soft bark, tree bark. I'm telling you how it's described in the Bhagavatam, the story of Dhruv. So with those bark fibers, some clothes were woven for Dhruv. He didn't go out there in his royal princely garments. He went out there in these clothes made of tree bark. And he just left the palace with nothing other than that. And he was heading for the jungle. So along the way, who should appear to him but Narad? Naradji comes in many, many leelas, in many different places. So Naradji is thinking to himself that, people of high status, because Dhruv was born a prince, people of high status, they have a very difficult time accepting an insult or any kind of offense against them. They can't let it go. So he came in front of Dhruv and he said, what are you doing? Where are you going? And Dhruv told him the story and said, I'm going to the jungle. I'm going to do devotion to Vishnu until he comes to me. And I'm going to ask him to give me a very high seat, a higher status in this world even than any of my ancestors have received. So Naradji gave him some advice. He said, young Dhruv, these things, whether you're respected or not, whether you attain to a high seat or not, whether you gain great power in this world or not, those things are in the hands of your destiny. Hani labh jivan marana yasha apayasha vidhihat. Ramayana Tulsidas ji says that yash and apayash, these things are controlled by destiny. No one can do anything to get a big name in this world. You can try, but if it's not in your destiny, it won't happen. If it's not in your destiny to get great power and great prestige, then it won't happen. So he explained this to Dhruv and he said, a wise person just accepts what comes to him in the name of fame or, greatness or power or not. He just accepts it and he's content and he's at peace. So he gave him some advice. Dhruv said respectfully, Naradji, little 5-year-old Dhruv, I'm a born ruler. I'm a prince. And I have no such patience or tolerance. So please, you tell me a way that I can attain a status greater than any of my ancestors in an honest way. You tell me an honest way that I can get a higher seat than, when he says ancestors, he's talking about his father. And his father's father, Swayambhu Manu. Now the Manu is the ruler not only of this world, but of entire Bhulok, which includes the lower celestial abodes as well. So he's saying, I want a higher seat than that. So, and then again, who is Swayambhu Manu's father? Brahma. Brahma has the highest seat in this Brahmand. So he's saying, I want a higher status than any of them. You tell me how I can get it in an honest way. Little 5-year-old Dhruv had that ambition. So Naradji said, okay, only God can do this for you. Only Vishnu can help you. And now he taught Dhruv devotion, sadhana. Sadhana means something you practice in order to attain a goal. So your goal is your sadhya. And what you do to attain your sadhya is sadhana. So he told Dhruv, here's what you do. You go to Madhuvan. Madhuvan is a holy place in Mathura on the bank of Kalindi River. Like our Kalindi River here is named after that Kalindi River, Yamuna River. So he told Dhruv, you go there, you stay in Madhuvan, and this is what you do. You picture Vishnu in your mind. And he described the form of Vishnu to Dhruv. He said, with a yellow shawl hanging over his shoulders, 4 arms holding the lotus, the conch, the Sudarshan Chakra, Almighty God Vishnu, looking so beautiful, so young, dark complexion, slightly bluish, with the Kaustubha Mani. He described in detail Vishnu's form, and he said, you form that image in your mind with closed eyes. So this, what he's teaching him, this is the essence of all the spiritual practices. Our Kripaluji Maharaj calls this Roop Dhyan. Naradji didn't use that word when he told it to Dhruv, but that's what it means. Roop, you think of the form, and Dhyan, you're meditating on that form. Vedabhyas ji writes in Padma Puran,
Alodhya sarva shastrani vicharya cha puna puna idamekam sunishpannam dhyeyo narayano hari.
Vedabhyasji was asked that, Vedabhyasji, for one thing, you are Bhagwan, you're a descendant of God, and for another, you're the knower of all the scriptures, because you yourself reproduce the scriptures at the end of every Dwapar Yuga. So 5,000 years ago, Vedabhyasji reproduced all the Vedas, Puranas, Ramayana. He also produced the Vedant Darshan, Brahma Sutra, Mahabharata, Gita. So you're the knower of all the scriptures. Vedabhyasji, you please tell us, what is the essence of all of that? Because no one can study that in one lifetime. And even if they could, how would they know out of all of that, what's the essence? What's the most important thing? Because, especially as souls of Kaliyug, we don't have the ability to study all of that, nor do we have the time. And then as far as putting it into practice, we're very limited in our focus and even our determination is very less, and people's minds are not very strong in Kaliyug. So you tell us what's the most important thing for us to know practically. So Vedabhyasji said, I did manthan of all those scriptures again and again. Punaha, punaha. And when you do manthan, when you churn something, then the cream rises to the top. Whatever's the best thing, it rises to the top. So he said the nishkarsh, the essence, was one thing that rose to the top. Dhyeyaha narayana harihi. The very same thing Naradji told Dhruv. Do dhyan of God's divine form. Most people, I don't think, would know that offhand. That out of everything written in Vedas, Upanishads, six darshan shastras, the six schools of philosophy, Smriti Granthas, Gita, Mahabharata, 18 Puranas, Ramayana, if you ask, took a poll out of all the people who know the Hindu scriptures and say, what's the one most important thing? How many of them would know that? Even though it's so simple, and it's stated by Vedavyas. He says, the one thing that's most important is remembering God. And to remember God, you need a form. So this is called Rup Dhyan or Smaran. Smaran also means to remember someone. Why is that so important? Because it purifies our mind. All the spiritual practices, you can say, what are they for? They're only to purify our mind, because the impurity of our mind is what prevents us from surrendering to God and receiving His grace. God's ready to grace us. We have to purify our mind. So a true spiritual practice is that which purifies your mind. And all the spiritual practices are based on one's self-effort, except for bhakti. Bhakti means surrendering to God. And the core practice of bhakti is rup dhyan, picturing the image of the form of God you're worshipping, with a desire to receive His grace. That's bhakti. And along with that, you can do kirtan as well, sing His name. And that's exactly what Naradji told him. He said, you go to Madhuvan, you close your eyes, you think of God Vishnu in your mind, you do rup dhyan, and along with that, keep repeating His name. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He gave him a mantra which had Krishna's name in it, Vasudev. Vasudev is like an almighty name of Krishna, so you can use it for Almighty Krishna or Vishnu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You keep repeating Krishna's name in this way and keep meditating on his form as Vishnu, and he'll come to you and then he'll give you whatever you're asking for. So Dhruv did that. He went to Madhuvan. He was so determined. You know, we do devotion and we may do devotion like Dhruv even, meaning we sit, stopping all otherworldly activities. We bring an image of God in our mind and we sing God's name. That's just what Dhruv did, right? We also do the same. That's what Kripaluji Maharaj teaches us to do. That's what we teach here at Radha Madhav Dham. So we're doing just like Dhruv, right? Yes, for short bursts, you can say. We might do an hour of devotion or 2 hours of devotion, and even within that time, our mind is wandering here and there. But it's of great value, whatever we're doing, nonetheless. But Dhruv was so determined and so focused, he sat down and he started doing devotion, and his mind didn't waver at all. He fixed that image of Vishnu and started repeating that mantra. And for the whole first month, he used to get up every 4 days to go and collect some leaves or some fruit or some roots to eat. Every 4 days, he would get up from his sadhana. He'd eat a little bit and he'd sit back down and do more devotion. Then the second month, once in a week, he got up and collected some dried leaves, not that were fresh and still attached to the tree, that had fallen on the ground. And he would only eat those dried leaves once in a week. The third month, he stopped getting up. He stopped eating. He was just breathing. The fourth month, he again didn't get up, but he took one breath in a week. He was so introverted, his heartbeat slowed down to the point where he needed one breath in a week. The fifth month, he stopped breathing altogether. The sixth month, instead of doing his sadhana sitting, he was doing his sadhana standing on one foot with the other foot bent up. And he would just change. Every once in a while, he would be standing on the right foot, then he'd change to the left foot. So in this way, he did intense sadhana for 6 months. You can say unwavering. His mind was in God 24 hours a day for 6 whole months. 5-year-old Dhruv. So this image he had in his mind, because he was attaching his mind to God through this process, his heart was purifying. And when his heart became completely pure, he was standing in devotion, thinking of Vishnu, and that image had been in his mind the whole time. And then it just disappeared from his mind. He couldn't see it. So he opened his eyes and real God Vishnu was standing in front of him after 6 months. And Dhruv was so overwhelmed, he fell at his feet, he did pranam, and he wanted to praise him. But he didn't have the words to do it, he was so young, he didn't know what to say. So God Vishnu just reached down with his conch and he touched to Dhruv's forehead, and then Dhruv got all the knowledge. And he started reciting stuti of Vishnu in Sanskrit, a beautiful stuti praising God Vishnu. When he was done, Vishnu was very pleased, obviously, with his devotion. And he said, "Now, my son, I'm going to give you that thing that you were desiring. The ambition you had in your heart, why you came to the forest and did devotion, I'm going to grant you that thing. I'm going to grant you a higher status than any of your ancestors got." And he gave him the status of the North Star. The North Star is the one around which all the other stars in the sky circle. So they all keep doing parikrama of that North Star. So he says, you're going to take that seat up there. You'll become that North Star. That's right.
So even today you can see Dhruv has that highest status, higher than Brahma in this Brahmand. So he granted that boon to young Dhruv and he told him that, but before that you're going to go back to the kingdom, and when your father goes to the forest, he's going to make you king, and you're going to rule the entire earth for 36,000 years. And then Vishnu left on Garud, he went back to his divine abode, and Dhruv was left standing. And you know what he felt? I'm telling you exactly how it says in Bhagavatam, regret. He said to himself, I asked him for a worldly boon. In fact, Dhruv didn't even ask when Vishnu came, but Vishnu knew the desire that was in his heart and he granted that thing. So he said, my beloved Vishnu appeared before me and I had asked him in my heart for such a worldly thing. He says, the boon I got from him is useless. And he gave two examples of how useless he considered the status that he'd been given. He said, it's like as useless as dawai for a dead person. Dawai means like a cure, medicine. He's already dead and you have this medicine. He says, that's about as good as this boon is that I got, because it's just a worldly status. He says, it's about as good. I did about the same thing as a beggar going to an emperor and asking for a few grains of rice. The emperor was willing to give anything to that beggar, and the beggar said, give me a few grains of broken rice. That's it. So that's the value of that boon that I had asked for. So he regretted having asked Vishnu for this worldly boon. And he went back to the kingdom. What could he do? He was received by everybody, including Suruchi and Uttam, and of course his father Uttanpad and his mother Suniti. They were all so happy to get Dhruv back. And very soon after, even though Dhruv was still so young, his father decided that, okay, Dhruv, you're becoming king, I'm going to the forest. And then Dhruv ruled for 36,000 years. And then he went and took his place as the North Star. So this account of Dhruv's life, it teaches us several really important things. Number one, how to do devotion. He showed the exact way of doing devotion that is described in Bhagavatam and is taught by Kripaluji Maharaj. So simple. You sit and meditate on the form of God that you want to attain and you chant His name. That's it. But the meditation has to be there and the chanting augments or enhances the meditation, the effect of the meditation. So the form of devotion, the practical form of devotion was shown to us by Dhruv. As well as he and Naraji showed exactly what Rup Goswami says. Adau shraddha tatah sadhu sangotha bhajana kriya. Three stages in getting started in devotion. First, shraddha. It means faith in God and a desire to attain God. Shraddha, bhuk. Number two, sadhu sangaha. It means the association of a saint, like Narad. So Dhruv showed and Naradji showed that anyone who wants to attain God needs the help of a God-realized saint. So first you have the desire for God, then God arranges for the saint to come into your life. See, how did Narad come and find Dhruv? Krishna arranged it, sent him to Dhruv. He said, this soul wants to come to me, so he sent a saint to help him. Then bhajanakriya. Then you start devotion by following the instructions of the saint on how to practice bhakti. So three simple steps. You desire God, then God arranges the association of a saint, then you
implement the instructions of that saint for how to practice bhakti. That's it. Then you keep practicing that until God comes to you. So he showed us how to embark on the path of devotion. He showed us the practical form of devotion. And Dhruv did practice sakam bhakti. Sakam means with a worldly desire. This is not the form of bhakti which is considered the highest form. Nishkam bhakti is considered higher, and we'll learn about that from the story of Bhakt Prahlad tomorrow. Nonetheless, sakam bhakti is a form of bhakti. You can ask God for worldly things. But Dhruv showed the actual form of sakam bhakti. None of us, even though every one of us sitting here in this life or many past lives, we've asked God for things. And we've probably said to ourselves, I'm doing sakam bhakti. None of us have done sakam bhakti. We've only been sakam. We left out the bhakti part. Bhakti means total faith and surrender to God. So when does he fulfill your wish? See, Dhruv showed us. When he comes to us. When you become God realized, you're free from all the material bondage, including your destiny, including the bondage of karma. Everything is finished, all the bondages. Bhidyate hridaya granthish chidyante sarvasanshrayah chiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. Mundaka Upanishad says drishte paravare. When you see God, then all of your past karma is eliminated, your destiny is eliminated, then God will give you whatever you're asking for, anything. Yat karma bhir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tashchayat yogena dana dharmena shreyo bhiritarairapi. Bhagavatam. By doing bhakti to God, you can get anything which is given through any other path, even material things, very quickly and easily by surrendering to God, like Dhruv did. But the surrender has to be total. Complete. So in other words, God grants even material desires after God realization, not before. So is that how we have done sakam bhakti? No. We just ask with partial faith. God, please give me this. Did Dhruv do that? Did he just casually ask in case God might fulfill his wish? No, there was nothing casual. He said, I'm going to find God. He's going to come to me, then he'll give me what I want. That is sakam bhakti. Not just casually asking. If we're casually asking, we're under the bondage of our karma and our destiny, and whatever we get or don't get will come to us according to our destiny, not according to what we're asking God for, because we're not really asking God for anything. If we're not asking with full faith, then we're not asking. And full faith means total surrender, in which case God would have appeared before you. So Dhruv showed real sakam bhakti, but then he also showed his disappointment at the end, that there were so many other things I could have asked for, divine things. Why did I ask for just the material thing? He regretted his decision to ask God for a worldly thing. But he also showed us that with focus and determination and patience, anything is possible. No matter how old you are, or what is your state or status, if you make your mind up, you can attain anything, especially through God's grace, by surrendering to God. So, these are the most important points from this recounting of Dhruv's story, according to how it's told in the Bhagavatam. And tomorrow we'll learn about Nishkam Bhakti from Bhakt Prahlad. And today we'll finish by singing a kirtan by Kripaluji Maharaj,
which describes the form of bhakti, just as we learned from Dhruv and Naradji. So how to meditate on the form and chant the name. And even when we're not chanting, we can still be remembering the form and the name silently in our heart. So this is all described. The actual form of sadhana is described in this kirtan.
गावो सब हिली मिली राधे 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 गावो सब हिली मिली राधे 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 गावो सब हिली मिली राधे 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 हकहु नाम गाते जब राधे कहु नाम गाते जब राधे श्वास श्वास जपु राधे 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 श्वास जपु राधे 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 गावो सब हिली मिली राधे 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 जब थकी जाहू तब हूँ तो राधे जब थकी जाहू तब हूँ तो राधे अनित छवि राधे 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 सुमेरी अनित छवि राधे 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 गावो सब हिली मिली राधे 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 करहु कीर्तन या जप राधे करहु कीर्तन या जप राधे ध्यान सहित करु राधे 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 ध्यान सहित करु राधे 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 गाओ सब हिली मिली राधे 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 एक ध्यान करु मन महराधे एक ध्यान करु मन महराधे सामने राधे 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 सामने राधे 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 गाओ सब हिली मिली राधे 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 सब ही मिली राधे 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 बूझो ध्यान करहु नित राधे जो ध्यान करहु नित राधे मिलई वेगी अब राधे 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 सब हिली मिली राधे 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 sab hi mili radhe 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 गुरु इष्ट भक्ति में राधे निज गुरु इष्ट भक्ति में राधे रहु अनन्य मति राधे 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 रहु अनन्य मति राधे 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 गाओ सब ही मिले राधे 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 गाओ सब ही मिले राधे 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 दुर्भाव न कतहु राधे रह दुर्भाव न कतहु राधे उदासीन रहु राधे 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 उदासीन रहु राधे 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 गाओ सब ही मिले राधे 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 सब ही मिले राधे 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 सब महरह कृपालु तव राधे महरह कृपालु तव राधे कृपालु तव राधे कृपालु तव राधे सब महरह कृपालु तव राधे है भाव रखु राधे 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 Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Gao sab hili Radhe, 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 Radhe. Radhe, 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 Sab Maharah Kripalu Tav Radhe, Maharah Kripalu Tav Radhe, Sab Maharah Kripalu Tav Radhe,
Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe.
Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe Govinda Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe. Gavo sab hili mili Radhe. Radhe Radhe Radhe.
अलबेली सरकार की।